B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know I went a year without touching myself?
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
I wish somebody would have marooned us.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Little children, please stay away from drugs. Drugs is no good for you, to you.
Happy Tuesday.
Got 8.5 a sports hub. It's 6.03. Tutcher and Rich. And sitting to my left is someone who is not Ted Johnson.
No.
Who was supposed to be this morning. We indeed have Adam Jones instead.
And we're all better people for it.
Well, I'm kind of a little upset. I'm not upset. The reason I'm not upset is that the reason that Adam is in instead of Ted today. Now, Adam was scheduled to come in a couple days from now, like Thursday and Friday, I believe. But the reason that I'm not upset that Ted Johnson isn't here is because we got an email saying that his flight had been delayed. I'm not sure where he was, but either way, he'd be coming in around 3 a.m. And he said if he had only a couple hours of sleep, he wouldn't be very good on the air. So not sitting next to a easily agitated Ted Johnson isn't the worst thing in the world. Seeing that the man, if he really wanted to, could snap my neck in 2 seconds and then eat me and then pass me, would probably be within an hour. He's just a giant mountain of a man. And
that's everyone consider that for a second.
And then the other reason that, and the one reason I am upset is that what are we going to do with all these phone books I was going to have him tear on the air?
Yeah.
And and all these boards I was going to have him karate chop. We were going to do the Ted Johnson strongman competition. He was going to try to bench press Nick. At some point, we were all going to try to arm wrestle him and just see if we could all just gang tackle him. Right. Kind of like when you see the lions grab the elephant.
Pull a truck out in the parking lot out there.
See, that was my idea. I like that idea a lot.
If Ted Johnson could just pull a truck?
Yeah.
Oh, that would actually be a great experiment.
That was bad. You know, have him pull a small car.
We'll put it
in neutral and see if he can do it.
Nick, what kind of car do you drive? Is it like a sedan or something? Volkswagen Jetta. Perfect car for it.
Yeah.
If we could get like a chain, attach it to the front like bumper.
Yeah.
And then even in like the ice, just have Nick put it in neutral and just see how far Ted Johnson
sure
could pull the Volkswagen Jetta.
To like Foxborough.
Probably.
Right.
With like one hand.
Yeah. Until he turned green and then of course, you know, started avenging the death of all the, you know, people who he has lost in his life. So yeah, but I'm glad you're in this morning. Because there's a lot of stuff that I know that you're going to have opinions on, including All-Star Weekend, which to me was just hysterical. It might have been All-Star Weekend is so utterly ridiculous in so many ways, but so amazing in so many others. Like, I mean, what other league gets this much drama out of all of the stars coming together than the NBA? There are videos out there that people have been examining, like the Zapruder film of people just talking back in like the catacombs over near like the locker rooms and things. I mean, this has been awesome. That part of it's great. The on the court product is just the absolute worst. Just like just embarrassingly bad. Even the 3-point contest, they found a way to screw that up. They don't go head to head in the final round anymore.
No. What do they go? They go from like 10-3.
Well, which doesn't
even make sense.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Why would you not have semifinals and final? Why not have the top four?
Yes.
And go, you know, one versus four, two versus three.
How do you mess up the single best moment of any of the All-Star competitions?
Easily.
Baseball, whatever. You can make fun of all of them, the home run derby, all that. But the three-point contest was legit, and it's been that way for years. Everyone, of course, remembers Larry Bird, where he shoots it and looks away. I mean, that was amazing television.
In his
warm-up jacket. Like, the three-point contest was the one. The skills competition, whatever you want to say about it, it's kind of clowny, kind of jokey. I mean, you could say that it's legit as far as it does measure certain skills of players, whatever.
Mm, okay.
But that three-point contest, how they managed to F that up, I was upset. When did they start doing that? I guess it's been a while since I've really been locked in.
No, it's been a few years now, but like, yeah, my guess is it's a time saver, right? That's what they're trying to do.
But that's the one competition that people wouldn't mind sitting and watching.
I agree. That has to be the logic. And
how much time are you saving?
Well, I don't know. And
10
also
minutes?
Around,
if you want to save time, just get rid of the skills competition. That's what I'd say. Do the 3-point contest. Yeah. Do the dunk contest. That's all people care about.
I don't even think you need to do the dunk contest.
Just get rid of all the other crap. Dunk contest was good this year.
No, what? I had a guy jump over a model airplane.
Well, that dunk was poor. The Diallo dunk where he's doing the honeydew. Or whatever, the
All
Vince
right,
Carter
fine.
One.
That's one dunk out of how many, and how many misses did he have? I mean, you have to, you're allowed how many misses before you complete a dunk
now? Two or three,
I don't even know. I'm like, God, dunk the basketball. What? How hard is this?
That's what Michael Jordan would have done.
Yeah, actually, yes. When dunk contests were good to watch. Right,
I think you get zero misses, you're out. I just think you can't
miss.
That'd
be fine. You can tweak the rules all you want. That'd speed it up too. To circle back, I think the reason they do it that way is to expedite things. And I feel like there are better ways to do that.
Okay. And you know what? The one thing that was right about this weekend was that anytime you have any kind of All-Star event, Guy Fieri needs to be front and center. He needs to be represented. He needs to be there to distract all of the people doing the play-by-play. Charles Barkley's obsession with Guy Fieri was just worth the price of admission alone. Like, the dude got so distracted. And Kevin Garnett, you know, told some pretty interesting stories. I kind of just wanted him and everyone else to shut up and just let Charles Barkley talk. And it's kind of like that almost every other time he's on TV. Just shut up, everyone. Like, when Shaq is on Inside the, you know, the NBA and it's him and Ernie Johnson, I just want everyone to shut up and just let Charles Barkley talk.
Let Chuck do his thing.
Let Chuck do his thing. Don't cut him off. Let him go. And I like that they added KG, and some of the stuff he said was kind of interesting. But, I mean, every time Charles Barkley spoke, and he was usually just being distracted by the people who were walking around, including Guy Fieri, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. Well, today we are running with the skeleton crew, because not only is Fred gone, but also Bird is indeed at the most magical place on Earth, probably being confused by animatronics. How'd they get all those presidents in the same place at one time? I mean, I thought all these guys were dead. And for some reason, they're all in the same room. They're all talking together. Why is Donald Trump here? He's supposed to be in the White House. He's not doing his job. I just see him being confused by everything around him at Disney World.
Do we know where he's staying? Is he staying on property? Or
I mean, I don't know.
Far away? Did he not plan this well? All of these questions need to be answered.
All I know is he's in that group of people that are all wearing the matching shirts. Like, it's him.
Oh, that's right.
It's him and, like, his whole crew. They're all together.
Big group. So that's who he went with? It's like a big family group to Disney World?
All wore matching T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so we've talked about this before, about there is a horrible trend that happens at amusement parks all across America. And I guarantee you, first of all, I get your opinion on this. Do you believe that Bird is indeed one of the worst offenders while he's down there of the public display of affection crew? Because anytime you go to an amusement park, there's always people, groups of people just making out in lines, like rubbing each other's backs while you're sitting waiting for Splash Mountain for 30 minutes, and you have to sit there and tolerate the ooginess standing in front of you of up and down and up and down and up and down. I guarantee you he's one of those guys. I guarantee you he's a PDA guy.
I'm not sure I really want to think about this too long, but yes, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I think, Yeah, that's probably
without true. A doubt.
I didn't realize amusement parks were such a hotbed for this.
No, they are.
Are you kidding me?
They are. Yeah.
When's the last time you went to an amusement park?
I mean, I don't even know.
No, well, that's why.
I've spent more than my fair share. You know, we go to the Jersey Shore. You go. There are a lot of amusement parks there. I just went to Disney World last year, so I mean, I've seen a lot of this.
Make out sesh all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, huh. there are a lot of there's a lot of it.
Oh, without a doubt.
When you're waiting in line for all these rides, seriously, there's, you know, it can be the newlywed couple, it can be boyfriend and girlfriend, it can be like teenagers hanging out. It can be Bird.
Yeah.
There are a lot of subcategories, but he's absolutely right. This happens.
Huh.
Yep. It's the truth.
It's disgusting. All right, real quick. We have Sports Guy on line one. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you are on Toucher and Rich.
Biggest win of the year last night, 6-5, McAvoy with the hammer in overtime. And you're talking about dunk contests, nose job Kyrie. These guys, they're playing their guts out every night, and you're talking about dunk contests and where's this guy going, where's eyebrow going. The heck with them. Talk about the Bruins. They're playing their guts out.
What do you think of the refs giving them 2 points, Jeff? There, you like that?
Jones needs to go back to the nest.
Hey, Jeff, you're absolutely right. And the thing that sucks the most is that was one of the most entertaining games of the year.
And no one saw it.
And no one saw it.
Nope.
I mean, that's one you owe it to yourself to go back and at least watch the highlights of that game. But it still doesn't do justice as just to how fast that game went and how ridiculous the referee. I mean, there was a goal. We'll get into it because, I mean, that's obviously we're going to talk a decent about it and what happened last night. But that was some of the worst reffing of a game that I've seen in a long time. There was one goal that they should have allowed and one goal that they shouldn't have allowed. At least they were both with the Bruins, so they kind of evened themselves out. But nonetheless, amazing game against a great team. And you know what? You can thank the Toucher and Rich Show.
Jake DeBrusk, three more points last night.
Not just that.
Yeah.
You can thank us. When you wake up this morning and you look at the old fish wrap and you see that the Bruins have done it again, you can go, you know what? TNR is the reason. And I'll tell you why. That's a big market tease.
Ooh.
I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
Right after this.
Ooh. You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 5 Sports Hub.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Last night. 985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and we are in the Town Fair Tire Studio, and the Bruins are now 6-0 since Pucks and Paddles.
Back of the net now, DeBrusk. He'll skate ahead, separates from Couture over the line, left side into the left circle, sauced across, Krejci to the slot, fired, they score! Bring the belt to the Boston Bruins! Charlie McAvoy in overtime with the dagger! The Bruins are a perfect 3-0 on the trip. They've won 6 straight games. That's a season high as they beat the Sharks in OT 6-5.
Man, it absolutely sucks that this game started at approximately 3 in the morning, because if more people had seen it, it would have been one of your favorite games of the year. The Bruins take on one of the best teams in the league, and they beat them without their best player. 6-5, the final score in overtime. Known for blowing leads over the past several months, after being up 3-0, it looked like San Jose was going to repeat unfortunate history after going ahead 5-4 in the third, but not this time.
Bruins do get it out to center ice. Wagner leads it over to the far side. Carlo shoots, and Jones a save, rebound, they score! Chris Wagner tucked the rebound, batted it out of midair, and then on the second attempt, he fired it home. The Bruins have tied the game at 5.
The Sharks want a high stick here on Wagner. This is going to be really close. The initial save was made. Wagner had a whack at the rebound. That stayed out. The puck popped up into the air. He reached. This might be a high stick by Wagner. It's going to be really close. The good news for the Bruins, it was called a goal at ice level. I think this is going to be a high stick, no goal, though, based on the replay I just saw.
Did he knock it into the net with the high stick? He knocks it down.
And then he puts it in.
Right.
But it's a high stick.
Is that something they can review?
But if they didn't call it a high stick on the ice, then you're right, it's not reviewable. It's a goal.
Which meant it was a goal. And it was definitely a high stick. There's no question. Chris Wagner knocks it down.
A good 6 inches above the shoulder.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was eye level. It was in the air, and it was an obvious high stick. Yep. But as Surratt said right there in Beers, you can't review that. So, boom, game is tied with less than 2 minutes to go. However, That made up for a goal at the very beginning. It was the first non-goal
that
of the game.
That one was a lot closer, though. Was the puck
over
the line?
Are you kidding me? Of course it was. There's a
it
shot.
It wasn't as blatant as the high stick.
Was it Wagner who did that one?
Yeah. Wagner was in front.
In the first period, Wagner hits this the goal. And you can tell there's an overhead shot that shows the puck is clearly across the line, and that's a goal that should have counted.
The naked eye, I mean, it happened so fast.
Naked eye, but on TV when you saw the camera.
All I'm saying is the high stick was much more blatant.
Yeah, I don't know how
was
that.
Was it over the line or not from the naked eye? Well, it was easily.
Either way, since you had one bad, you know, like they kind of equal themselves out.
But if I'm San Jose, you just came back from 3-0 down. You're up 5-4 with less than 2 minutes to go, and that happens to you?
Yeah.
I mean, if the roles were reversed, Bruins fans would be, well, if you would watch the game, Bruins fans would have been angry.
By the way, Dan makes a good point. Did you hear that crowd?
Yeah. A lot of
dude, that's
in
San Jose. I mean, there's a lot of Bruins fans there.
It's true.
And when they show the crowd, too, there were a ton of them there. But
San Jose has been really good this year, too. No excuse for that.
Oh, yeah. I think they're close in points to the Bruins right now. They're almost
the exact
identical.
Exact same record.
They won 14 out of 18. Like, yeah. I mean, they're as hot as the Bruins are right now, or they had been. So that's, I mean, look, regardless of how you get it, and I agree, the calls ended up evening out. One was much more blatant than the other, but they were both missed calls, and they were both could have taken goals off the board. That's a big win for a
huge.
team that's red hot and without Pastrnak.
Well, remember a week ago when we had Jake DeProsk on the show, and he was going through that awful slump, and we told him, hey, you know what? Every time you come on our show, you always end up having massive games.
Backus along the near side, knotted up with Melker Carlson. Bruins have it. DeBrus brings it into the far circle. It's fed out in front. DeBrus shoots. He scores! In transition, Dan Heinen. A soft dish into the far circle, and accelerating was DeBrusk, and he fires it just inside the near post. A power play goal for 2 Bruins.
Jake DeBrusk getting the TNR bump, scoring a whopping 4 goals in 4 games since coming on our show. That's his longest streak as a Bruin. Unfortunately, the other effect of being on the TNR show as a regular guest is you usually get traded. So,
how many people
hold
did that happen
breath?
To? That happened to a lot of guys a few years ago.
A lot of guys.
That was the Thornton jinx for a while.
Yeah, it was like for maybe 3 seasons in a row, the guy we would have, like Boychuk. I mean, we would always be either traded or they...
Riley Smith was you guys, right?
Yep, Riley Smith. I mean, it was like either traded or they just wouldn't resign. They were no longer on the team, so with the trade deadline coming up... Yeah, we'll see.
If he goes, at least the Bruins are getting something good back, you'd think. That's a big place to go.
That's right. If you're going to get your trade value is pretty damn high right now. Well, and Zdeno Chara gets off the schneid. He scores his first since October 25th. Just a ridiculously high-scoring, fun night to watch. I mean, the game is definitely worth seeing the highlights for everyone who missed it last night. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
Well, it was odd, that's for sure. Calls that I think both coaches probably were upset over. And then pleased when they went their way. At the end of the day, it's probably a game that each team gets a point. It's probably not a bad thing for as far as my profession goes because of a lot of things that transpired. I'm certainly glad we got the 2 simply because we had a 3-0 lead. And you got to be able to put those games away even though you're playing one of the best teams in the league and they play very well in this building.
And you know what makes last night's win even more impressive is that the Bees look energized even after playing their 3rd game in 4 nights. On top of that, if you noticed... No goals from Marchand, no goals from Bergeron.
Yeah, they were both minus players, I think.
Yeah, so you take a look, and how many times have we said that this team is a one-line team, and now, all of a sudden, things are getting tossed around. You see some younger names coming up.
Cassidy has this Stevens thing going for him. I mean, you lose a key player, and the team plays as good, if not better. I mean, he's getting production from everybody. They've won 6 in a row here, losing Pastrnak in the middle of it. I mean, this team right now is 3 points up on Toronto for 2nd place. I mean, they were in 4th place last week.
Well, Leafs have 2 games in hand, but they're up on Toronto. Yes,
buzzkill. Yes,
I'm just saying that's
being factually accurate, John.
Fairly important.
I keep forgetting who I'm dealing with.
You
I'm
say
sorry,
buzzkill,
Jones.
He says reality.
Of course,
I'm on Team Jones.
I keep forgetting who you are and what you represent every morning. My mistake. They're in 2nd place by 3 points. Wait, they were in 4th place last week. They're playing their best hockey of the season when they absolutely need to. I mean, this is great to watch.
I kind of like it when this happens, too, when a star player goes down and some of these younger guys feel the need, or at least the permission almost, to step up and be a little more free with the play. And you saw it having, comparing hockey and basketball are two completely different things, but I mean, you look at what happened when Kyrie was gone, and now you look at when Pasternak's gone. It's nice to see these names who aren't usually on the scoreboard coming out and making a name for themselves.
Carson Coleman's another one. A kid that brought up from the AHL, who's really, I think he had 9 goals in his final 20 AHL games.
First NHL
comes
goal?
Up, scores a goal last night.
Was that his first NHL goal?
Yeah, it was. Off a feed from DeBrusk, by the way.
And by the way, if you want to talk about who's been the MVP this season, maybe it's Tuukka. I mean, Tuukka's been playing pretty well.
Last night was up and down.
Well, last night was up and down, sure. But, I mean, just as a whole.
The Kings game, he was good.
The Kings game, he was good. I mean, you know, take a look at his work as a whole. He's been pretty good. I mean, maybe you could probably argue that Marchand might be the guy. Oh, by the way, did you see that Pierre Maguire shot?
Okay. I did.
The near miss, that one.
So, you know, we talk about how, you know, these errant pucks obviously can be wildly dangerous, and the netting obviously has cured a lot of that. However, Pierre Maguire stands right there, right in the middle of the, you know, the two penalty boxes, between the penalty box, right?
Yep. Yes.
And, you know, it's wide open. You know, there's no glass where he's standing. No. And during last night's game, I don't even know what game it was, but he is standing there doing his broadcast, and someone launches a puck, and it might have grazed his nose. It came so close to hitting him.
He didn't avoid
it.
That's blind luck.
It wasn't.
You can't get out of the way of that.
No. And it was one of those things where it goes past his nose, and he doesn't even move. And the camera was in the perfect spot because it's like a 3D movie. It goes directly into where the camera is, and it takes a good full second, like a beat, for him to even react because the puck went so fast.
Yeah.
But that would have. I mean, what does that do to you? Does that kill you? I mean, it definitely
shatters some bones in your face.
It definitely knocks you out.
It might kill him.
He's not the largest man.
No, he is not the largest man. All right, let's go to Jaguar on line one. Oh. Hello, Jaguar. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Quick question. It seems that since Pasternak's been out, the Bruins have been hot. Kind of similar how the Celtics have been hot without Kyrie. Do you think there is any... is that a coincidence, or is it something more?
Well, first of all, I heard when the, you know, after those last two wins that the Celtics had, a lot of people came out of the woodwork and said, see, they're better without Kyrie. They're not better without Kyrie.
They're not.
And I don't want to.
They're not better, but they're playing well without him.
Certain players play better without Kyrie.
Totally. Yes.
But the team as a whole is not better without Kyrie.
I agree with that.
And that's like why you can watch these, because it's been 5 games without Pasternak, right? You can't watch those 5 games that they've won and think that they're a better team without David Pasternak. There's nobody who would think that. Look at the goals he scored. The guy is a force. And you need a guy like Pasternak if you want to do anything in the postseason. However, it is nice in the short term, as I was saying, to get some of these guys to be able to show you what they can do. And maybe that confidence that they build up helps once the stars come back.
I would agree on both counts. It's not easy, but you can get guys to rally and play above their level. Said, okay, he's out. We need everyone to raise their play. And they're playing really well. Celtics did too. A big road win before the All-Star break. But over the long term, where you're talking about 30, 40 games, you can't survive without these guys.
No, I mean, the thing that's nice about it, and I know Cassidy had already, like, finally, he had already taken Pasternak away from that Bergeron line, which needed to happen.
Yes.
You said before,
agreed.
They're a one-line team.
Yep.
It's why they lost to Tampa Bay last year. Like, what took so long? I give him credit for ultimately getting there, but what took so long is baffling that they continued to roll that line out. It's a dominant line, but the team, you know, the team wasn't getting as much as they could have out of those three players. I think separating them and spreading them out gives you more scoring depth. So, you know, one thing you've seen a little before Pasternak got hurt, and even now in these last 4 or 5 games, whatever it's been, 4 games since Pasternak went down, now it's like, oh, okay, like Bergeron and Marchand, not their greatest night last night,
mm-hmm.
but that's been a really good line with Heinen,
yep.
and hopefully this opens Cassidy's eyes enough to say, yeah, you know what? We could survive without Pasternak on that line, and they keep him with Krejci, because that's what I think needs to happen.
Well, next up, the Bees head to the house that Dave Gosher built as they play the Las Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow evening. The puck drops at 10 p.m., but you bet that if you're up, you can hear it right here on 98.5. It's probably going to be another classic. It's probably just going to be another great game that everyone's going to miss, unfortunately, because these games just, these 10 p.m. games just absolutely stink. All right, so we will get to what happened when John Henry came out of his crypt to answer some questions, along with Harpo.
I love Harpo.
It's one of my favorite days of the year of the Red Sox season, to be quite honest. The owners speak to the press. We will get to that. And also, there's some interesting stuff coming out of the Patriots, including a little bit of Rob Gronkowski, a little nugget there that might be interesting regarding his future. We'll get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Tired of sucking on cough drops all day for your sore throat, but not finding the right relief? That's because cough drops don't numb pain. Yeah, the truth hurts, but you're not a sucker. Try Cepacol. It's different. Just one Cepacol Instamax lozenge has two max-strength pain relievers and cools in seconds. It's the numbing relief you need to knock out sore throat fast. Find it at Walmart or your nearest retailer when sore throat strikes, and this time, strike back. Cepacol. Feel the difference.
Get better insurance from CNS Insurance in Mansfield, Scott Zolak's insurance agency. They're experts in home, auto, renters, and commercial insurance. Let them help your home or business. Get your free policy review now at getbetterinsurance.com.
Time and temperature brought to you by Chili's. It is 17 degrees outside at 6:36. Chili's 3 for $10, now featuring their signature sirloin steak, aged to perfection. That's a starter, entree, and drink for just $10. It's great for the whole family, but you already knew that. The Parent of the Year mug didn't earn itself. Together, we Chili's.
Brady Fields, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play. Brady stands and lobs the throw to Gronkowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch. Brady takes the snap. Shotgun snap to Brady. Fires down the middle. Throw to Gronkowski. Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, six-time champion.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich. So yesterday was the day that John Henry came down from his royal tower devoid of sunlight, and Tom Werner emerged from his forge where he'd been burning all pictures of himself with both Roseanne and Bill Cosby, and the two faced the media as they do every year in what was another informative yet awesomely awkward preseason interview. First off, remember a couple years ago when John Henry was asked this?
John, I regret not signing John Lester.
No.
You're lying.
Yeah.
Well, the tone changed yesterday, a few years later, regarding John Lester, when he admitted this.
I think we blew the John Lester. You know, we blew re-signing him in spring training.
Really?
So for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent.
Okay, number one, glad you admitted it. It's always nice to hear and I was wrong from ownership every once in a while. But number two, admitting that is like Josh McDaniels admitting that Tim Tebow was a bad first-round draft choice. No kidding, John Henry. At the time, everyone but you knew that it was an awful decision. However, you thought it was really funny.
John, I regret not signing John Lester.
No.
What? No, you're out of your mind? Come on, Johnny Miller, sit down. My goodness. So now, do me a favor. Admit that Bobby Valentine was a bad choice and really rock our world.
Now we're talking.
Then you'll really, really blow our minds. Well, then Tom Werner was asked a question, and after shaking nervously, after hoping no one would notice him, he thought he was he tried to will himself invisible during the press conference.
Man.
He then attempted to address the status of Craig Kimbrell. Let's see if Tom Werner could answer this one without any input or audible support from John Henry. Take it away, Tom Werner.
If the team out of the Kimbrell race, do you think the team might still re-sign Kimbrell to a shorter deal?
Do you want to touch that?
I think it's extremely unlikely.
You need a permission. You need a permission from the king, the master.
This guy was almost a commissioner of baseball, Tom Werner. Tom Werner was almost a commissioner of baseball, and this is what he is.
Tom Werner, what's your opinion on the upcoming strike that might happen? Okay, I understand. Tom Werner, Mookie Betts resigning him. Okay, thank you, Tom. You can go back into the corner. play with your horn. And by the way, in absolutely hysterical news, both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still not signed. Just remember, Bryce reportedly turned down like a 10-year, $300 million offer from the Nationals last year. So that's where we stand now.
No, did you see the news over the weekend? Apparently, this is from Bob Nightingale over the weekend. Apparently, the Phillies have kind of surged into the lead, and he's going to get more than 10 years and $300 million from them.
Well, he's not signed yet.
No, I understand that, but this represents, apparently, things have really picked up in the last couple of days. People are now getting serious.
Good. It's been a pretty quick process. So
no,
that's
no,
good.
I can see why it's picking up a little bit. But apparently, Harper waiting this long is actually going to pay off. Apparently, he's going to get paid. I don't know what the deal is on Machado. Machado thought he was a $300 million player.
Or Kimbrell
or
Keuchel.
I know. But I think once Harper goes, then the dominoes start.
Right.
Harper.
They're giving Werner $300 million?
Well, I know.
So is this just a giant Johnson measuring contest? Because I've heard this theory out there, too, is that Machado wants to be the highest paid, and then Bryce wants to be the highest paid. And the reason that no one's getting signed is because they're trying to make sure that they're going to end up having more money than the other one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that kind of what's going on now?
Ultimately, though, Harper's going to outprice Machado. For all I've been reading, I mean, Harper's going to get more money, and Machado's going to come up about $50 million short.
Okay, does this weirdness of free agency that's happening this offseason, because it is strange, does this say anything to you about what should happen with Mookie Betts? Like, should Mookie go ahead and jump into things and maybe sign now, as opposed to waiting till that offseason when you see kind of how rocky things have been with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado?
Well, I mean, if Harper's going to get $300+ million, then I say, yeah, maybe it's like pulling teeth and I got to wait for a while. And, you know, it's a little embarrassing that it drags out for so long. But if you get your money at the end of the day, I think I'd follow that exact path.
And the other
Mookie Betts.
The other part of it is the Red Sox and Henry and Warder discussed this yesterday, have contracts they're dealing with now. It sounds like they're all in on Chris Sale. They're not worried about the shoulder from what they said yesterday. They've already... Oh, well,
did you get that?
Yes.
Because my old thing was like one of those, we want him to be here.
No.
Which basically says we want him to take what we're offering.
Henry said the shoulder injuries are minor. We've opened up contract negotiations, and he already said he blew it on Lester. So what that means to me is they're going to go all in and get Chris Sale.
Bad
Red Sox don't
move.
And I agree with this.
You think it's a bad move to pay Sale?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, to give him apparently what he wants.
Yes.
Because how long is that contract
going to be? Give him 6-7 years and $210 million based on what you've seen from that shoulder the last 2 years. You can't. But the other side of it is there are two things. You can't replace him in the rotation. They don't have a prospect above double-A. The one prospect that they have, pitching prospect that's reached double-A, just got there, and he's a reliever. All the other, like Jay Groom had a horrible year at single-A. He's 2-3-4 years away. You can't replace Chris Sale in that rotation unless somehow you sign Justin Verlander to a contract, which probably won't happen. So stuck.
Verlander's 7 years older than Sale.
I understand that. That's my point. I mean, you can't replace Sale, so you're kind of stuck. And the other thing is, you have Mookie Betts sitting there watching how you handle negotiations with your own players. So this Sale thing is important on two fronts. A, you need him to stay somehow at shorter money to keep your rotation intact. And B, you have the really important guy who's doing 2 years watching how you
do
business.
So you think that if they don't sign Chris Sale, that's going to scare Mookie Betts away?
I don't think scare. I think it's how they handle the negotiations, whether or not they resign him or not.
It's just all about the money with him. I don't think it's going to matter. The Sale thing doesn't matter one bit to Mookie Betts. I mean, obviously, you want them to say what they said yesterday, and that's exactly what somebody should say. As much as they make fun of John Henry, he's been a damn good owner, and I just think that his comment of saying that we want Sale to be here for a lifetime means nothing, because what that says to me is we want him to be here at the money that we're offering
him. Yeah, if they really wanted him, then they'd give him what he wants, and he'd be here.
Yes.
But so there's a staring contest. When you say you wouldn't pay him, do you mean you wouldn't pay him now, or you won't pay him? Period.
I wouldn't give him a 7-year deal because, okay. I mean, that's obviously what he's going to want. And you know what? He'll probably get that somewhere else.
He's been vastly underpaid for his career. So he's an idiot if he doesn't hold out for the money.
Of course. Well, no, I agree. But I mean, I don't.
Would you pay him 7 years and $210 million?
Yeah. It's the Red Sox. There's no set. Yes, I would. Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Based on what you've seen?
Yes.
I don't know.
He's been. Top six in the Cy Young like 7 years in a row.
I understand, but you.
But look at what his arm's done the last couple of years.
Buckling Manny Machado in the World Series last year.
I understand, and he was great. But Watch what the Red Sox did to him last year, Jones. They babied the crap out of him, and he couldn't finish the season.
Jones is right. Every time I start to get uptight about paying these guys, I'm like, it's baseball.
Well,
None of this matters.
It's Red Sox money. They probably still have it, but they're going to pay a 35-year-old guy $30 million who probably won't be healthy.
Baseball's so stupid. Any sport without a cap is just dumb. You're right. Every time I'm just like, okay, well, you know, you shouldn't pay this guy. Screw it. It's baseball. Spend what you want. I don't care. Yeah, you're gonna. It doesn't matter. You can spend as much as you want. These guys have zillions of dollars. Why baseball isn't capped is one of the most
ridiculous things. Technically, you have the double secret probation luxury tax that they might
find. It's still more money. It's not like these guys don't have money. Boy, baseball's stupid.
It
really is. Every time I start to get fired up.
Not the most well-run sport.
No. Honestly, every time I just like, oh, they shouldn't. I'm just like.
And Rob Manfred sitting there saying, you know what? The amount of money you spend is not directly, you know, affected to how well you do in the standings. He said this over the weekend.
Well, because he had to. Because, I mean, you pointed evidence and go, yeah, look. Look at how much money these teams are spending and look at their success rate.
And Rob Manfred says, you know what? It's probably not true. And then John Henry hours later says, you know what? It doesn't hurt to spend money.
See, that's why stuff like what the Patriots are doing is just a million times more impressive than anything anyone in baseball has done.
Yes.
And to do that in like a cap, I mean, just every time I get like, I have to remind myself when I get fired up about what someone's going to pay in baseball, like, it just doesn't matter. If you think he's going to be good for two more years and he wants seven, give him seven.
Yeah, and you can do what you did with Price or with JD Martinez, like put some opt-outs in there. Like, you know, normally those work out for the player and not the team, but I feel like there are ways to minimize risk with him. I think the only debate is, do you pay him now or not? Like I'm giving him what he wants.
Yeah. What do you think about the luxury tax there, Tom Werner?
Let's go Red Sox.
Thank you, Tom Werner. Appreciate you guys.
Runner-up for the voting for Commissioner of Major League Baseball.
Sure to work out just fine. All right, let's get to that Rob Gronkowski nugget that was out there. I think it's fairly encouraging if you're a fan of Gronk and you don't want him to leave the NFL. We have that news and a little bit more regarding your New England Patriots, and we'll get to that in just a minute.
98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We have Adam Jones in this morning. And by the way, Darkness, wildly underrated band. They were not a one-hit wonder. They one hit maybe, but they have like four albums after this one that are just unbelievable.
See, I like this song. I don't know a lot about their catalog.
First of all, this album, Permission to Land, is excellent front to back.
Yeah.
Excellent, great album. But then they continue to make good stuff. They're still making albums, and their lyrics are fairly hysterical. But we have a mystery in the studio, apparently.
Uh-oh.
John Wallach, during the commercial break, said that he noticed in the trash cans, which I guess do not get emptied during the weekend.
Yeah, he's rummaging through the trash over there.
And a holiday, that's right. Yeah. So yesterday there was nothing.
Yeah.
That there was not one, but two?
Two.
One, but two Muscle Milks.
Yeah.
Ted Johnson was away for the weekend now.
Who's rocking Muscle Milk in the studio? Which 98.5 the Sports Hub on-air personality?
I can say definitively it's not me.
One in this room.
Said, but not only do I drink Muscle Milk, but I do it while I'm on the air, which meant I'm fresh from a workout. Coming straight from the gym.
What's going on here?
I mean, which trash can is it in?
Bulk doesn't sleep.
Okay, we know it's not Ted Johnson. He was not in. He was the one guy you go, okay.
No.
Which trash can is it in? Is it in your...
Right here.
Okay, so it's more than likely going to be someone who sits doing the headline.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Is Hamlet a big guy? I haven't seen him in a long time.
Hamlet was in last night, apparently, with McCarthy.
Okay, so John Hamlet crushing Muscle Milk?
I think he's suspect number one. He was there last.
Dan's got a theory. Pop your mic, Dan.
Okay.
Who is it? Dan?
Who is it?
Yeah. Who do you think it is?
I thought you were going to throw a sounder in. It's Sarge, of course.
Uh-huh.
When did he work?
He was yesterday.
Did he work yesterday?
He was in yesterday because he was on TV. He was in with Leroy and Big Joe Murray.
Hell yeah.
The reason I know this.
It could be Sarge.
The reason I know that Sarge was working is because the amount of people who tweeted me a photo of Sarge looking directly into the camera during the thing is. Is Sarge rocking Muscle Milk?
I don't know.
Oh. Keep that figure, Rich.
No. Because if he was, he'd be, like, mentioning it
Bodybuilder Sarge? I gotta see this. The dude's already lost the weight. The dude's already got new hair.
He's got hair, yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
If he was drinking Muscle Milk, he'd be like plugging it. You know, it'd be like a
well, no, he isn't buff yet. This is maybe the beginning. It's a run up to being
Sarge Ferrigno.
Run up to being the Hulk.
Yeah.
Has anyone noticed? Like, is Sarge, like,
is he buffing up?
Is he rocking the gym? Is anybody?
What's that movie with Tim Allen where he looks at that? Looks
very viral. He's very viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. If anyone has any evidence that Sarge is trying to bulk up and rocking muscle, but first of all, don't you? Okay. Now, the only time I've ever seen anyone drinking Muscle Milk. Now, I've done it once or twice, and that's just because I have no idea what I was doing. And it was after a workout. I don't work out a lot, so I'm not elbow breaking. I have.
I've dropped some Muscle Milk.
I've cracked a Muscle Milk.
What does it do? Is it give you? What? How does that help?
It apparently helps. Like if you do something, it helps like repair your muscles.
Yeah, recovery.
Yeah, it's like recovery or whatever.
What's it taste like? Just like chocolate milk?
The one I get, I get like the weakest of all of them. It's like it's like it tastes like you're drinking chocolate milk, but. You're supposed to drink it right after your workout.
Yeah,
That's not something you just, like, it's not a vitamin. Like, you don't go around and drink it 10 hours.
You're not sipping on it.
No, you're crushing one. I might be completely wrong on this, but I don't think you drink Muscle Milk, like, during the day and it helps your muscles when you're not working out.
No, immediate recovery.
Yes, it's like a repair type thing. I could be completely wrong on this, but how great would it be if he was rocking Muscle Milk just to kind of show off to the people in the station because they want him to say, hey, Sarge, you working out, bro?
Not only am I working out, I'm recovering. Getting better, getting stronger.
I think we need an answer to this. Someone get Sarge on the phone.
What about McCone? McCone would be sandwiched in there.
I don't know McCone enough.
McCone was
Sarge
headlines.
Let's stick with Sarge. It's
not,
way funnier.
Trust me, it's not McCone.
Oh, it's definitely funnier.
McCone did the afternoon shift yesterday. It's not
McCone. Okay, because it's not Jim Murray. Because Jim Murray there. He was in yesterday, right?
Yeah, but he was over there. He wasn't over here.
Okay.
He'd be here, yeah.
I don't know if he was in it, but Zoe sits over here.
Zoe's off for the week.
Okay.
And Zoe would do that.
No.
See
617-779-0995. Am I wrong about Muscle Milk? Like, that's something you drink immediately. Like, there's literally no reason that I know of that you should be drinking Muscle Milk while you're on the air.
No.
Right?
Well, unless
no.
You're,
it's
unless
not
you're,
a vitamin.
Unless you're cranking out some push-ups out there or something like that.
But, no, you need like, curls. You need to rip through some curls.
Stone Cold Sarge Austin. Everyone's saying it's totally Sarge.
Sarge is just mid-segment. He's just like hammering out crunches.
Yeah.
Hashtag Arnold Schwarzenegger is trending on Twitter. Let's see.
Doing dips.
It's Joe Murray. It's not Joe Murray.
No.
Because you don't get... Okay, let's see. All right. So if anybody knows, I would find that interesting. Because to me, it would be hysterical if someone came in and was drinking Muscle Milk just on the air. I'd laugh at them. I wouldn't be able to stop laughing. Jones, if you came in this morning and just started picking up Muscle Milk and drinking it...
Like a milk mustache.
I wouldn't be able to concentrate for the rest of the show. that would be...
Honest to God... Hold on. Let me see. Here it is.
How big is it?
There you go.
It's more milk than I want.
That's the kind that I've drank.
Protein shake.
Yeah, that's the kind that I've drank before.
25 grams of protein in one shake.
Someone said, "What about Kimbo Sarge?
Kimbo Sarge.
What about Flynn? I don't think Flynn was in this weekend. And also, Flynn would not do that because once again, I think you're supposed to do that fresh after workout.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He'd know enough to not do it.
Recover, move forward, move fast.
Yeah, but maybe you just like the taste. Maybe you're just like, you know what?
But there's two of them in there. So my man, like, either did it a couple times this week.
Rocking the vanilla cream. All right.
Well, that would be so great if it was Sarge. Oh, that would be the best. Anyone, you know, maybe there's old tapes of the show from yesterday you can go back through and see if there's one sitting on the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, television tapes.
Check the Twitch files.
Somebody check out the tapes. Check out the tapes.
NBC Sports Boston should be able to answer that.
All right. Well, let's get to the All-Star weekend. Let's get because, I mean, it was absolutely hysterical. I promised everyone the Gronk news. I'll do that right after the headlines, and then we'll get into All-Star weekend and all the craziness with Anthony Davis and everything else right after. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.